Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show with Angie Z. I'm a mindset coach, host of Zillionaire Superstars podcast show, and designer of Zillionaire Creations, entrepreneurial clothing line. I know the road to evolution starts with understanding the power of your mind. The problem isn't with what you're doing, it is how you're thinking. The Zillionaire Superstar podcast show shares with you the mindset tools and techniques used by successful entrepreneurs and business owners that created their level of success today, and shares how you can also do the same. Well, welcome to Zillionaire Superstars with Angie Z. I'm super excited to introduce my next guest, Tamar Heller. She is the co-president of LinkedIn Local Asia, helping Fortune 500 companies in Asia to get leads on LinkedIn. She is also the COO of Genius and Sell. So I'm excited to hear more about that organization also. So Tamar actually helps create networks of communities made up of LinkedIn lovers, such as myself, no doubt, getting to know the person behind the profile. Our Shanghai community has more than 3,000 members, making it one of the most professional and active networks in China. Huge! Welcome, Tamar.
Thank you. Thank you, Angie, and thank you so much for a lovely introduction. It's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Oh, it's so wonderful. Just to let everyone know, we have spoken before and had a delightful chat, and yeah, definitely just wanted to know more and learn more about your story, which is so fascinating. So we won't hold things up. Let's get to some of the questions to let the audience know a little bit about you. So tell us a little bit in your own words. What do you do?
Well, that's a great question. To sum it up, yes, you said what I do. So I am a community leader and the founder of the LinkedIn local chapter for Shanghai. So that definitely keeps me busy. But what pays the bills is being the COO of a digital agency in Asia. And I'm pretty sure we're the only ones who really specialize in LinkedIn lead generation, at least on this side of the world. So that keeps me busy as well.
Yes, I can only imagine. So, tell us, where do you live?
I am coming to you live from Shanghai, China, my adopted home.
Yes, and what was your, where were you born?
I was born in California, so I'm a California through and through, but in my soul and spirit, I'm definitely a global citizen and nomadic warrior.
Fantastic, I love it. And what's your favorite book or podcast at the moment?
Ooh, you know what? I'm a writer and a former publisher, so to ask me what my favorite book is like if I had 10 children and which one's my favorite kid. But I will tell you what I'm currently reading. I just finished reading a really fascinating book that started to change even how I run my business.
Right.
Words That Change Minds, very powerful, about the influential language of business and how to persuade people and understand them. And then currently I'm reading, which I'm really enjoying, a very super nerdy book called Dreamland, which is about all the Area 51 and UFO and alien conspiracy theories.
Oh, wow. Very different. Very different.
Yes. And can you repeat what your other question was for me?
Oh, no. So I was just asking, what's your favorite book or podcast? But you've answered beautifully.
Okay, perfect.
What's your favorite charity?
Oh, favorite charity? Definitely Kiva.org. When I became a self-sustainable entrepreneur, I promised myself as much as I could, I would help women entrepreneurs in foreign countries, especially third world countries, and give them micro loans, because I like that it empowers them to pay it back.
Yes.
And think more long term and not just take a hand up. So that's my favorite charity.
Oh, that's fantastic. What an amazing charity. That's awesome.
Okay.
What is your daily success ritual?
Ooh, that's really good. I think I'm still on a point of, I just finished a really long, long project. So I think I'm kind of recalibrating to maybe a new normal in my routine.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely right now, part of what is keeping me happy and sane is almost every night I take a really long walk. In China, it's quite safe to even go out late for a late night walk and enjoy the nice weather. So
beautiful.
That helps me clear my mind, or I'll take a really long bike ride. So that's my big part of my success routine.
I love that. Beautiful, beautiful. Great way to end the day too. Yeah, very nice. Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about how you ended up doing what you do today. Tell us about your story.
Well, like every other foreigner, I actually came to China teaching English.
Yes.
But I knew it was just a temporary thing because I've always been very entrepreneurial all my life. And it was just a matter of, I think I needed a little bit of a break, so I went back to what's familiar in education. But what was great was I quickly discovered Shanghai is such a transient, dynamic culture of networking city that so many opportunities were before me, and that gave me lots of ideas and kind of time to reconnect with people on a professional level, especially female entrepreneurs. And kind of through that journey, I evolved more into, I went back into digital publishing.
Right.
Which I did in California. And I learned about neuroscience when I was in digital publishing here in Shanghai, because my boss at the time had a degree in neuroscience. So everything we created, whether it was materials or video media, online courses, we always incorporated neuroscience, and I learned even more about influencing people, branding, soft skills, just so many different things in media that I think I was missing knowledge in to really be successful in digital marketing. So then as I evolved in that journey, I was leading the community of LinkedIn Local Shanghai, where I met my current business partner. And then once he and I started doing like workshops together on LinkedIn,
right,
we found that we have these amazing synergies, and we thought, wow, we should keep working together. And he already had an agency, but it was e-commerce. So he decided to pivot it because he saw a huge opportunity here in China for LinkedIn. And now, over a year later, here we are, and we're working with Fortune 500 companies and actually getting ready to scale. So it's been quite an interesting journey, and one I certainly wasn't expecting, but I really feel peace about it, and I feel like it's right. So I'm excited for what's to come ahead.
No, that's amazing. And it like you, I said in the intro, you've got such a large community over there. So how did you actually get into the LinkedIn side of things and building this community in the first place? Like, did someone approach you, or did you decide to, speak to someone, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so when I was in the digital publishing, we took on a consultant for LinkedIn because we thought, okay, we're using Facebook, maybe a little bit of Twitter. We were doing some email marketing and then looking into other avenues. And that was really the year that LinkedIn started to have a big shift towards thought leadership. So we hired a consultant, and he really taught me a lot of things. And it was a lot of trial and error too, because he also had his own theories, but he said, like, at the end of the day, you have to just test things out.
Yeah.
So I got familiar with everything, like LinkedIn groups, all the different forms of ads, A-B split test for ads, even more compelling copywriting, thought leadership, all those great things. So I really got my feet wet in LinkedIn and I really liked it. And then I decided to personally and professionally become more invested and consistent. And because of that, I stumbled across this hashtag that said LinkedIn Local. So I clicked on it, I decided to explore further, and then I found this amazing professional community. I looked up if there was one in Shanghai, and to my surprise, there wasn't. It sounded like this cool, global, you know, professional community, and I was like, man, people are so dumb to not take advantage of starting it in Shanghai. Like, what is wrong with people? So I took the opportunity, actually connected with a lovely lady in Australia, Anna McAfee, who's the founding mother, I call her, of LinkedIn Local.
And right.
At that time, LinkedIn wasn't governing the community. Now they mm-hmm. do.
Right, so okay.
Anna was doing interviews of people around the world who wanted to be a host for this community. So I passed all the questions, and then I launched 2 months later, which ironically is the event I met my business partner at. And I thought, oh my God, it's typhoon season. There was a typhoon that night. I thought no one's gonna come. Mm. We had 120 people show up.
Oh my goodness!
On the night of typhoon.
Wow.
Because LinkedIn has strong branding.
Yes.
And people, like I said, this is a city of networking culture.
Mm.
So people really had good expectations from it, and since then we've grown. We went from about 350 members last year all the way to 3,000 by February of this year. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, this is our first in-person event since COVID 2 weeks ago. Huge success, totally sold out, a private brunch. And, you know, it was nice to see our community members again be so eager to connect. But, yeah, they're all really, a lot of them are very active on LinkedIn and really create opportunities with each other. So it's been one of the best things that I've ever had an idea to start building.
Sounds like it was perfect for you. It was made for you, Tamar.
It was a destiny.
It definitely. I agree. So is that a huge investment of your time as well outside of your business?
You know what? When we were scaling the community, yes, because mm-hmm. my business partner also has a community with me. But what's amazing is he showed me all these different ways to create processes. I call him the process guy. He's just so brilliant with processes and structures and making sure that things can be replicated. And that's really how we scaled the community and had a huge, successful networking season last year. So once we got past all the growing pains and setting things into place, once we had the right team members in place, which we really have a solid team right now, it made all the difference. And we, especially me, I learned how to delegate better.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's, I guess, the space or phase of maintenance and trusting that what's coming next is, you know, we'll know what to do.
Yeah, definitely. What's the biggest learning for you from this group, would you say?
The biggest learning is to have the right team in place to help you run everything, because it really, especially as a leader, you know, you have a vision for how you want to shape things, but if you don't have other people around you to help you shape it, there's no way that you can grow the community in the way it deserves to be grown.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the organization and the processes. So they all kind of work together, but the people make all the difference, because they're also the ones who help you connect with the community. And when they can create a really good rapport, especially sometimes on your behalf because you're too busy, that is huge. So for me, I learned the power of delegation, trust, but also trusting my gut that I would take on the right team members.
Fantastic. Yeah, the art of delegation is so, so, so important to get that right.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. And so in terms of your business and, you know, growing this community, what's been one of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome during that time?
I think the biggest challenge actually was learning how to work with a partner. Even in business and in my entrepreneurial journey, I've always been kind of a lone wolf, a perfectionist, the kind of person who says, I can do it better, I can do it by myself. When I did delegate, it was kind of like what I considered to be menial tasks, which sounds terrible, but it was just like, oh, well, if they screwed up, it's not a big deal. So a big challenge to overcome was humbling myself. Trusting in my gut that I knew that this was the right move to take on a partner, allowing him to have creativity, and because I'm a former events person, like I used to run events a lot in California. Like art shows and big nonprofit fundraisers, and so like I know how to organize things. I know how to throw a good party, but I realized, you know what, it's time to let someone else shine, and I can just support. And I was happy to do that, because when you share your energy with someone and it's the right fit, and when they have a vision as well, it's a nice surprise to let them take the wheel and show you what they've got. So that did take me a while. That did. And I think I always apologize to him, because I'm like, I am sorry. I underestimated you for a long time. And now I won't make that mistake again, because he's proven himself over and over again. And that was actually the perfect way to even solidify our business partnership in running a community together, because the community is nonprofit, but obviously our business is for profit, and they're two different spaces. So
yeah, definitely.
I'm proud of myself for letting go in that area.
Yeah, and so you should be, actually. It's not the easiest thing to do. I know myself, I can get a bit like that, like wanting to always take the lead, take control, you know, not maybe giving enough patience and time to others to be able to do so. And so that's definitely a huge, important lesson within business. And I think, too, the partnership side of things can be very challenging. I mean, you hear of there's so many successful stories as there is unsuccessful in terms of, you know, partnering with someone. Yes. And yeah, I love that you just trust yourself and yeah, trust what you felt at the time to be able to make that happen. So that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
So for you, Tamar, and for the audience, what would you say are some of the key mindset tips or strategies that you've used to overcome any, you know, business challenges or even personal challenges within your life?
I think for personal challenges, it's just a matter of, I mean, I've been through a lot of hard things in my life, and at the end of the day, I had to choose to be responsible for my reaction to them or not. I think the biggest epiphany I had was in my early 20s. I read a book that was really life-changing called Little Miss Perfect. And actually, the book is geared towards adult children of alcoholics.
Wow.
And I grew up in a family with drug abuse. And so, you know, as the eldest of three girls, I often took it upon myself to be overly responsible because I wanted to create stability in our family and in our life. And fortunately, like, all that has a happy ending because things are resolved. But you know, as an adult as well, you kind of navigate those traumas and challenges, and you still think that there's something wrong with you or you're inadequate, and then it can leak over into your professional life, which for me it did. You know, it was taking charge, not trusting other people, saying I could do it by myself, and really rejecting help when I should have accepted it. So that book really opened my eyes to taking responsibility and learning how to forgive people I felt owed me something or I felt really wronged me, because the truth is people do the best they can with what they have. And if they're not equipped with the right tools, they can make really dumb, bad choices that affect us, unfortunately. And it's the that's just how life is. So for me, a big part of all that was first taking responsibility for my personal life. Mm-hmm. And as I went on my journey through that, it really started not just to heal me as an individual, but then to heal my professional life. I started seeing patterns that were not healthy, that I was like self-sabotaging as an entrepreneur and not having the success I wanted. So finally, when I released that, then I started having more success because my energy changed, my mindset changed, and I realized that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what other people do. It matters how I react and the kind of responsibility I take. So I would say, Angie, it really does come back like down to our own responsibility. And when you decide to be responsible for yourself, it can affect every other area of your life in such a huge positive way that you start to attract the things that you want and that you deserve. I think the worst thing is if you realize that you should take responsibility, but you don't, I think that's worse than being ignorant.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So how old were you, Tamar, when you were going through this?
Well, all the personal, like, tragedy, trauma stuff was mostly from when I was a little girl, like age 3, all the way till I was 21
wow.
years old. So I've been down in my life, yeah. So I definitely, you know, I'm one of those people who had to grow up really fast.
Yeah, I bet.
And then coming to China in my 30s, mm-hmm. I kind of reverted to, in a way, like some childlike behaviors, I guess, or just curiosities, because I felt like I hadn't really experienced that in my life.
Yes.
But I did start transforming and healing in my 20s, and then China and this magical city of Shanghai, I was free to create the life that I wanted away from the environment I used to know. And so I really grew up here. I really feel like I became more of an adult in Shanghai, and now that's why I'm so excited and ready for this next phase and this growth of our agency.
That's absolutely phenomenal, seriously. And to be, you know, so young going through that and have your siblings and taking responsibility and helping mm-hmm. them as well. So just so I'm clear, so I understand, so was it your parents or the surrounding family members that were involved in drugs, or like
how did... Yeah, my father.
Your father, primarily.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how did you get through that stage? Like, you're a young child, you wouldn't, you know how to navigate such circumstances. What got you through that?
You know, my mother was very stable, so God bless her. She was a saint. I think school... And I think, too, that's why in my 20s when I was really working, like, I became a workaholic for a long time because school felt so comfortable because there was structure and I knew what was expected of me. And the same, if I had an environment in my professional life where I felt like I knew the expectations or I was doing well, I would just go all in. But it would definitely affect personal relationships and how I related to people at times. So that was something in my 20s. I mean, I don't know. I went to a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
I read a lot of books.
Yep.
I meditated. I got into exercise. Like, I just really did what I could. I researched. And yeah, there's so many different methods. Like, I went through it. It's been like a 15 or 16 year evolution, really, since I decided to take responsibility for myself and then release things year by year. And, you know, I challenged myself in my late 20s to become a new person every year of my life. Mm-hmm. I wanted to look back on every birthday and really feel a sense of being a different person. And the past few years, I can definitely say I've done that, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, as you should be, most definitely. So you've certainly gone, you know, like you've invested in yourself and really been on a personal growth journey by the sounds of it.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's sometimes the work that we need to do, we sometimes avoid for some time as well before we get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep, exactly. And it's true.
It's incredible what comes out of it though, right? As well.
Well, you know, and I was reading before, like, most of us, if we don't see evolution in our personal lives as a value, you know, if we don't think that that's a priority, then by the time we're 35, which is my current age, our personality kind of like solidifies, and then it is really hard to actually change and grow and evolve. So that's why, like, for me, it's such a important core value to seek evolution and make myself a better person as much as I can every year. And for that, like, it also brings in new opportunities in my life. I'm a lot more adaptable, resilient. I know how to relate well to people. And in business, those are all things that you need. Like, yes, in life, yes. But especially as a business owner and entrepreneur, you have to be resilient. Otherwise, you know, just go work for someone else.
That's right.
Amazing. It's amazing. But it's not all sunshine and rainbows. And you have to have thick skin. And you're going to have times where you're crying, you know? Like, sometimes things really suck. Yeah. And they're hard, but you get through it. And at the end of the day, once you see that success climbing, then you can really just say, okay, yeah, I made the right choice and I worked for this.
Yeah, correct. And I think those wins, you know, that we experience as well give us the motivation and resilience to keep going, even when things, you know, seem impossible or challenging or, yeah, whatever the case might be. So, Tamal, for you, what would you say accelerated your personal growth out of everything that's happened within your life, which, you know, sounds like a very colourful life that you've lived? What would you say has been your personal growth accelerator?
Ironically, when I learned about quantum physics and the real law of attraction and epigenetics, which is like the ability for our genes to turn on and off, our genomic sequence, like we're not born stuck with the blueprint we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized that and I started really studying it and studying the brain and how we can even rewire our brain just through enacting different behaviors, that is when I had, I guess, what you could call a quantum shift. I found peace in my life, I found more clarity, I was trusting myself more, I was able to see the things more clearly and just kind of like know what to do and also trust in the process. And that helped to attract different people in my life who were healthier for me, who were there to help bring me to the next level and who I could also contribute to in their lives. So I think that was really like Dr. Joe Dispenza wrote a book called Changing the or Breaking the Habit of Being
You.
That book, oh my God, that literally changed my life. So I think just to, like, I got in the habit of putting all those positive messages in my life, and I literally did rewire my brain, and I stopped thinking like a victim, and I started thinking like a winner.
Ah, I love it. That is gold. And you couldn't have picked a more favorite author of mine. I love Dr. Joe Dispenza, and his latest book as well, Becoming Supernatural, is phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's on my reading list.
Oh, please. Yeah, definitely. When you get 5 minutes, definitely take a look at that. You will love it and probably reread it 100 times like I have. Yeah, his work is just phenomenal. But he just speaks of everything that I truly believe and always have believed. And I think that's why I'm so in love with his work.
Yes. Same.
Oh, fantastic, Tamar. Wonderful, wonderful advice for everyone out there, you know, experience challenges, successes, to, you know, be resilient and know that you can overcome anything that happens if you're willing to invest in yourself and go on that personal growth journey as well, and good things will come to you and be attracted to you, opportunities will arise. And sometimes you just got to take those opportunities and run, like Tamar did with LinkedIn. It was so lovely to speak to you, Tamar. So what's the best way for everyone to connect with you?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, of course.
It's my playground.
Yes, yeah, it's my favourite way to connect with others as well. So yeah. Love your work. Thanks again, Tamar.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you for listening to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your comments and reviews, so please leave a review on iTunes. For further information, visit angelinazimmerman.com, and I can't wait to catch up with you next time.